الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فنواصل الحديث عن
خصائص نبينا
فمنها كما يقول الناظم رحمه الله: أرسل للناس جميعا أعطي مقامه المحمود حتى رضي.
Given only to him
وخص
is that he was given that he was the messenger for all the people, not for
certain
group of people like other prophets. So other prophets or other messengers were sent to a certain group of people, either for people who live in some certain place, like on geographical basis, or for people who belong to a certain religion, or belong to a certain sect, or a certain belief, or so on and so forth, to bring him back to the straight path. But the Prophet peace be upon him was sent to everyone, even he was sent to the humans and the jinn, mind you. So he was sent to every single creature to bring him back to the light, take him out from darkness to the light. That is unlike the messages from the prophets before him, because the messages of the prophets before him applied only to their people, but the message of the Prophet peace be upon him applied to every creature. Every creature, humans and jinn, mind you, everyone, to everyone, his message was to everyone. And you see this reflected in the way when he sent letters to every ruler he could send a letter to. So he sent a letter to the king of Persia, he sent a letter to the king of Egypt, he sent a letter to the king of the Romans, Caesar. He sent a letter to every ruler that he could send a letter to invite them to Islam, to tell them come to the straight path of Allah and reject this disbelief and this association and this falsehood that you are on.
So
that is another that is a reflection on the fact that he was sent to all people, not to a certain number or a certain group of people, all the people. Another characteristic that was given only to the Prophet is that he was given al-maqam al-mahmud, the credited position or the credited status. And this credited status or this al-maqam al-mahmud is that this is something that will not be given to any prophet except for him. And many scholars mentioned that this could be a shafa'ah, the intercession, is that everyone will be waiting for Allah to start the judgment, but Allah would not start the judgment. And the situation will be very dire and very daunting and very tough, to the extent that everyone will go to all the prophets to ask them one by one after the other, to ask Allah to start the judgment, but each prophet would avoid that, each prophet would refrain from that, and they would eventually end up with Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him, and he would say, I am for it, I am for it. Every prophet, people will go to every prophet, they will go to Nuh, and he will say, I'm not for it. In fact, they will start by Adam, and they will say to Adam, you are the father of all humans, and you are the first messenger that was given, that was sent to... You are the first prophet, or that you are the father of humans. Intercede to our Lord to start the judgment, and he will say, I disobeyed my Lord and I ate from the tree. Go to somebody else. They will go to Noah and they will say, you Noah, you are the first messenger who was sent to humans in this earth, on this earth. He will say, I'm not for it. I asked my Lord something I was not supposed to ask him, referring to the incident when he asked Allah to save his son who was a disbeliever. So he will say, I'm not for it. I disobeyed my Lord and asked him something I was not supposed to ask him. They will go to Ibrahim or Abraham, and he will say, I'm not for it. I lied to my Lord three times. I'm not for it. they will go to Moses, and Moses will say, they will say to Moses, you are the one who spoke to the one that Allah spoke to, and they are the one that Allah sent to him the Torah written with his own hands, with his own hands. So he will say, I'm not for it, I killed a soul. Go to somebody else. You go to Jesus and will say, you Jesus, you are the Christ, you are Jesus Christ, you are the word of Allah and the spirit that was sent, or the word of Allah that was sent to Mary. He would say, I'm not for it. All I care about is myself. And this is what every prophet will say. Every prophet will say, all I care about is myself, I'm not for it. But he will not mention any sin or any mistake. He will not mention any mistake that he made. So he will say, go to Muhammad. So they will go to Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad, peace be upon him, will say, I am for it. And he will rush into prostrating before the throne of Allah. Allah will teach him words that he didn't know. He said, at the time he mentioned this hadith, he said, I don't know these words now. Allah will teach me these words only at that time. So he will intercede to Allah, and Allah will accept his intercession. So it was mentioned before that this credited status that was never given to any prophet before him is that this is the intercession.
فيغبطه بمقامه ذلك أهل الجبل يكون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقرب إلى الله تعالى من جبريل عليه
And some other scholars interpreted that by saying that on the day of judgment, Allah will be the Prophet, peace be upon him, will be the closest to Allah, even closer than Jibreel, and everyone around will envy the Prophet about that or for that. Other scholars said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seat him next to him on the throne. And Shaykh said, Allah only knows. There is a status that will be for him that nobody else will have, and everybody will envy him for that. If the credited status, or the great status that will be given to him, is a status that indicates the major intercession, then this is something that really will not be for anyone else except for him. Will not be for anybody else except for him, peace be upon him.
هذه الشفاعة العظمى التي يحجم عنها كل من لها إثم يقول عن الشفاعة العظمى أنه يحجم عنها كل من لها أثية يعني كل الأنبياء الذين يذهب الناس إليهم يطلبون منهم الشفاعة يحجمون
عنها. All the prophets will refrain from engaging into this intercession except for our prophet, peace be upon him.
ولا ينام قلبه بل غمض.
One of his characteristics that he is the first one on top of whom the earth will crack. When Israfil blows into the trumpet the second time, you know that he will blow in the trumpet twice. The first time is the shocker, where everyone will be shocked and shocked to death, except for those that Allah wills. And then the second blow into the trumpet is the one for the resurrection, when everyone will be resurrected. So our Prophet, peace be upon him, will be the first one on top of whom the earth will crack open. He said that about himself.
عليه السلام باطش بقائمة من قوائم العرش بطش والإنسان منسكن يعني قائمة من قوائم عرش الله سبحانه وتعالى.
He said, I am the first one on top of whom the earth will crack open on the day of judgment, and then when I sit up, I will see Moses holding one of the pillars of the throne of Allah, and then I will not know if he already was resurrected before me, or if he was given if he was saved from the shocking of the blow in the trumpet because of the shock that he already experienced on top of the mountain of Sinai. Now when you say that everyone will, when the Prophet said everyone will be shocked on the first blow on the trumpet, except for those that Allah wills, who are those that Allah wills? Some scholars said that this Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, and the angel of death. Some people said also Moses, peace be upon him. And Allah only knows who will be under that exception. But most important thing is to know that there will be some that will be saved from that shocking, the shocking that will render everybody dead. There are two blows under the trumpet, the shocker and the resurrector. The first one is the shocker, everyone will be shocked dead. And the second one is the resurrector, which will happen after a period of time that nobody knows. Could be 40 days, could be 40 years, could be 40 months, could be 40 whatever. The Prophet said 40, nobody knows 40 what. So the second one, the second blow on the trumpet will be the resurrector, the one after which everyone will be resurrected to life again. One of the characteristics of the Prophet is that his eyes sleep but his heart does not. His eyes sleep but his heart does not.
هناك طبعا شفاعات خاصة بنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم الشفاعات
The second another characteristic that you should know about the Prophet peace is that he will be his intercession will be the first to be accepted. Why are we saying this? We're saying this because there are other intercessions or other people that will be given the right to intercede to Allah, will be given the privilege to intercede to Allah. Some believers, some very righteous people, Allah will give them the privilege to intercede to Allah to take out of the hellfire some of their relatives, some of their Muslim relatives, some of their some of the people that were their companions or friends in this life, and so on and so forth. But their intercession will not be accepted until the intercession of the Prophet peace will be accepted first. So the first one that will be given the privilege of intercession is our Prophet, and then subsequently after that, some other people, some very righteous people, will be given the intercession. And remember that the martyr, the shaheed, will be given the right or the privilege to intercede to 70 of his people. So others in this ummah, others in the people of Muhammad, will be given the privilege to intercede to Allah to take out from the hellfire some of the people that they know. But our Prophet peace be upon him will be the first one who will be given that privilege, and the first one from which that privilege or that intercession will be accepted. There are three categories of people that will be admitted to the paradise. The first category, may Allah make us amongst them, those who will enter the paradise without any judgment. They will just enter the paradise, no judgment for them. And they will open the door of the paradise, or they will actually knock the doors of the or the gates of the paradise while people are still waiting in the grounds of resurrection. But they will rush into the gates of the paradise while people are just waiting in the grounds of resurrection. asking the gates to be opened. So the guards of the gates will say, how come you're here? Have you been even judged? They will say, what should we be judged for? Our swords were already on we carried our swords and always prepared them to fight for the sake of Allah. So the guards of the paradise will say to them, we have been ordered not to open to anyone before Muhammad, peace be upon him, or only to open for Muhammad, peace be upon him. So they will go and ask the Prophet to come with them. Come with us, we want these doors to be opened, we want these gates open. So the Prophet said, I will take the ring of the door or the gates, one of the gates in my hand, and I will knock. So they will say, the guards will say, who is it? He will say, I am Muhammad. They will say, we have been ordered, or we have been given an order not to open to anyone else before you. So peace be upon him will be the first one who enters the doors or the gates of the paradise. Sheikh?
نعم.
هل التاسع على الأيتام تكون معه ولا بعده عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ التاسع على الأيتام الحديث
نعم في نفس الحديث يعني في بعض الروايات أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
When the Prophet mentioned that, he said, I will be the first one to be admitted to the paradise or enter the paradise, and someone will be preceding me, someone will be trying to raise me, and I will see who is that. It will be a lady that was sponsoring orphans. That is how sponsoring orphans, brothers and sisters, is significant and important in our religion. He will ask, who is this trying to raise me into the paradise? They will say that this is a woman who was sponsoring orphans. That is how important sponsoring orphans is in our religion. And that's why he, peace be upon him, said, I and the sponsor of orphans in the paradise like these. And he gave a gesture with his middle finger and his index finger. And when you put both of them together, you see how are they close to each other. The middle finger and the index finger are very close to each other. So you are as close as it gets to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the paradise if you sponsor orphans, if you are good to and dutiful to orphans, and if you sponsor them.
من خصائصه عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه أكثر الأنبياء تبعا أكثر الأنبياء أتباعا عليه الصلاة والسلام
One of his characteristics, peace be upon him, is that he is the most followed amongst all the prophets. No prophet was followed with more people other than him or more than him.
بعض الروايات حديث الإسراء يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
In the hadith of the journey of al-Isra al-Mi'raj, when he was ascended to heaven, peace be upon him, and he was even ascended above the seventh heaven. So Moses was seen crying in that journey, and he was asked, what makes you cry, what makes you weep? He said, a man that was sent after me, yet the people who will be admitted to paradise are predominantly an overwhelming percentage of the people who will be admitted to paradise is from his people. It's from his people.
فهو يغبط نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام على كثرة ما له من الرسول يعني كثرة الأتباع والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أنه قال يعني يأتي النبي
And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, a prophet, I saw the prophets, and I saw a prophet that will come on the day of judgment with a group of people, and a prophet that will come on the day of judgment with two men, and a prophet that will come on the day of judgment with one man, one follower, and a prophet that will come on the day of judgment with no one. No one. Can you imagine a prophet that will come on the day of judgment with no follower? Nobody followed him, nobody believed in him. And then I saw a huge number of people. A huge number of people. And I said, it's just my ummah, it's just my people. He said, no, that's not your people, it's the people of Moses. But he was given the ability to see even more numerous number of people, more numerous than the people of Moses. And it was said to them that this is your people, more numerous than any other people. So that gives you the indication that the people of Moses are a lot too. They are too much to the extent that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, he thought that that might be his people. But he was pointed to another direction, showing him even more numerous people. It was said to him then, this is your people, even more numerous than any other people.
وجاء في أحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يعني عن أمته قال أهل الجنة 120 صفا 80 صفا من هذه الأمة
The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the people of the paradise are 120 rows. If you put them in rows, and each row contains number of people that is equal to the other rows, so if you basically distribute them over 120 rows, each row has equal number of people. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the people of the paradise are 120 rows. 80 of those rows are my ummah, are my people, and 40 are from our people. 80 are my people, and the rest are from other people. He was once sitting with his companions, and he said, wouldn't you be pleased if you are quarter of the number of paradise? They said, Allahu Akbar. He said, wouldn't you be pleased if you are the third of the people of paradise? They said, Allahu Akbar. He said, wouldn't you be pleased if you are the half of the people of the paradise? They said, Allahu Akbar. They said, wouldn't you be even pleased? Wouldn't you be pleased if you are two-thirds of the people of the paradise? They said, Allahu Akbar. He said, I hope that you even would be more than that. He didn't mention more than two-thirds. He said, I wish that you are even more than that. One of his peculiar characteristics, and listen to this one, this is going to excite you, this is a very peculiar characteristic, is that he can see in front of him and he can see anything that's happening behind him. He can see behind him too. And that is why when he would lead the prayer, peace be upon him, he would see behind him. Allah would show him things that are happening behind him. Allah would show him, peace be upon him, Allah would show him things that are happening behind him. That's why when he would stand up leading the prayer, sometimes he would tell the companions to move in order to adjust the rows, the lines of the prayer. He would adjust the lines of the prayer while he's not facing them. So the companions once got very astonished. How would he be able to do that? He said, I can see you. I can see you. So Allah showed them whatever is happening behind him. So he would stand and adjust the lines of the prayer while he's not facing the companions, and they would be very astonished how he's doing that. He said, I can see you. So Allah basically showed him what was happening behind him. Some of the scholars said that this was not in every time. It was just at the time of the prayer. Some of the scholars said that no, that was at any time. Another characteristic that you might have become aware of by now, is that he was as articulate as it gets. You to what you are being called you to become alive or to be alive.
يستأنس بها وتذكر في خصائص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم موضوع شرب البول وكذا يعني ورد في حديث عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه حديث عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه أنه أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يحتجم
And this is something you might want to be careful about understanding, is that the issue of drinking the urine,
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجاء عبد الله بن الزبير
There is a story that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was doing the
فأهرقه حيث
vacuum
لا
cups,
يراه أحد.
if you know about the vacuum cups where people suck the bad blood out of their the back of their heads. It's a practice that is even done now in hospitals. Some people do in some places where I think it's called vacuum cups or
قال
it's called cupping.
فلما رجعت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما صنعت يا عبد الله؟ قال جعلته في مكان ظننت أنه خاف على الناس. يعني قال
شيخ
قال أخفيته يعني في مكان
ما 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 لحق معلش.
كان عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه
عبد الله بن الزبير
جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
came to the prophet peace and the prophet was cupping.
Prophet is cupping.
No, cupping is when you use tools to suck out the bad blood of your body. And this is a very good practice, by the way, that even the modern medicine fosters. So, Abdullah ibn
Zubayr
took the blood. And the Prophet told him, spill it in a place where nobody can see it. So, Abdullah ibn Zubayr took the blood and went far, and when he was somewhere where nobody can see him, he started drinking it, and then he came back to the Prophet. So the Prophet told him, what did you do with the blood? He said, I hid it in a place where nobody can see it.
قال فلعلك شربته.
So the Prophet said, did you drink it?
قال فلعلك شربته. قال نعم.
He said, yes, I did.
قال نعم. قال ومن أمرك أن تشرب؟
He said, who ordered you to do that?
ويل لك من الناس وويل للناس.
Woe unto you from people and woe unto people from you. In another narration said, hellfire will never touch you. Because hellfire cannot touch something that the Prophet peace some part of the body of the Prophet peace. So he was smart. He did drink the blood because he knew that hellfire would never touch any part of the body of the Prophet peace. So he did drink the blood. But the nice part of the story is that he said, I hid it in a place that nobody can see it again. That's it. Now it is haram to drink blood. It is haram to drink blood, but he did it. It is haram to drink any blood. The blood of a man, of course, in the first place, and mainly the blood of animals, because in some places people would eat the meat, and the meat would be mixed with the blood of the animals. And in our religion, you cannot eat meat that is mixed with blood, because the blood in our religion is haram. Except for two bloods, and we mentioned that before. When the two things, if they are mixed with blood, we still can eat them. Liver.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يبول في قدح من عيدان.
So that is the blood. What about the urine?
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني هو كان على استطلاقه في ذلك الوقت ما كان توجد دورات مياه يعني.
At the time of the Prophet, peace and there was not any bathroom, so the Prophet, peace and would have to go out far enough so that nobody would be able to see him and hide behind trees or anything and answer the call of the nature. And and he would take with him a pot made of wood dedicated for urinating. And he would use in peace be able to urinate into it. So he would go out to the desert during the night and urinate in that wooden pot. And when he's done, he would put it under his bed. One day, in the middle of the night, one night, he, peace be upon him, urinated in that pot, and he put the pot under his bed. So he woke up, he took the pot, he found it empty.
كانت تخدمه.
So he said to a woman called Baraka,
a servant, جاءت معها من أرض
a servant that used to serve
يعني
Umm Habiba, his wife. She was the servant of Umm Habiba, his wife, the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him. She was from Abyssinia, and she migrated from Abyssinia to Medina, and she was serving Umm Habiba. She was the servant of Umm Habiba, the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
فهذه المرأة التي اسمها بركة
فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أين البول الذي said, where is the urine?
قالت شربته يا رسول
الله. She said, I did drink it, O Prophet.
يا يا رسول الله.
I did drink it.
فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صحة يا أم يوسف. قال
he said
وكانت تقنى أم يوسف.
Healthy will be you, أم يوسف.
مرأة اللي هي بركة. فما مرضت قط حتى
so she
كان
never
مرضها الذي مات.
Contracted any disease from that point forward until she died.
فهذه الحديث التي وردت فيها طبعا الذي ورد يعني في صحيح البخاري ومسلم هو التبرك.
So some of the hadiths in Bukhari and Muslim were dedicated to that issue, the issue of seeking the blessing of something from the Prophet, peace be upon him, some part of his things that he used, his sweat, his body, his hair, his even you brothers and sisters, his mucus. They would, in fact, his saliva or his mucus when he would want to clean his nose. The companions would precede each other, raise each other to seize his mucus. When he would do ablution, they would raise each other, in fact almost fight each other for the rest of the water that come out from his ablution. And when the disbelievers sometimes came to negotiate with him and saw the companions doing this, they would go nuts. What these people do? When he would spit, peace be upon him, they would raise each other to catch that spit. And disbelievers who came to negotiate with him sometimes, seeing the companions doing this, that would drive them nuts. It's like how there is love, but what these people do with the Prophet is beyond love.
من خصائصه عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه يحل له قبول الهدية من العمال وغيرهم.
One of his characteristics, peace be upon him, is that it was halal for him. It was allowed for him to accept, the gift, to accept the present. But it was not halal for him to accept any charity or zakat. Zakat and charity, he cannot accept it. It's not for him. He cannot take from zakat or charity. Not him, not any of his progeny or his family. Charity or charity or zakat is not halal for him or his family. And he can accept the present from people who worked for him. Other than that, nobody should accept any present from people who work for him, because it would be a bribe. But for the Prophet, peace be upon him, was halal for him to accept the gift of people who that he appointed for certain positions, that he appointed as rulers on certain places or on certain countries or regions. He appointed people to rule certain regions, and he was allowed for him to accept their presents or their gifts. Other than that, any caliph after him was not allowed to accept any present or gift from those who appointed, from those that he appointed as rulers of the regions around the Medina. Sheikh said, there is a specificity here, because if the caliph was a friend of someone and they were gifting each other or giving presents to each other before that caliph appointed him as a ruler on that region, and if they continued that habit, then that's okay. But then if he became appointed by the caliph, and then only then when he became appointed by the caliph as a ruler, then he started giving him presents all of a sudden, then here is where it has to stop, because here is where it will be considered a bribe, sucking up to that caliph in order to swallow, in order for the caliph to swallow his troubles. This is not allowed. Bribery is not allowed in our religion. Corruption is not allowed in our
religion. ثم داوم على هذا فصار صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ذلك اليوم يصلي ركعتين بعد العصر دائما عليه الصلاة والسلام. وكان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم انه يعني كان اذا فعل شيئا
One of his characteristics, peace be upon him, is that when he does any good deed, he continues doing it. He is not by any means, you're not dealing with a capricious person here. You're dealing with someone who is as consistent as it gets. When he does a good deed, he continues doing it. So for example, and this is a very nice example, on one day, he was very busy distributing a bounty of war, the bounty of war. So he prayed Dhuhr and he got very busy distributing the bounty of war until the Asr prayer came, and yet he did not pray the Sunnah of the Dhuhr. So he prayed two rak'ahs, the Sunnah, the Sunnah of the Dhuhr, the pre-Sunnah of the Dhuhr, he prayed it after Asr. And because he prayed these two rak'ahs after Asr, he continued praying two rak'ahs after Asr from that point onward. Even though he forbade his Ummah to pray two rak'ahs or to pray anything after Asr, but he continued praying the two rak'ahs after Asr because it was his tradition that if he does something, he continues doing it. He doesn't stop it. As consistent as it gets.
عليه الصلاة والسلام. والسبب قيل معناه المصاهرة تفسير يعني المحصور عن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله وغيره.
Another characteristic, and you feel free going to do research about it, another characteristic of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is that every progeny till the day of judgment will eventually be interrupted, except for the progeny of the Prophet, peace be upon him, except for the line of the progeny, the line of the Prophet, peace be upon him. His line of progeny will continue till the day of judgment. What does that mean? It means that any one of us eventually will have a daughter where his name will be not carried forward. So his line will be interrupted or will be stopped at the point where he will have only a daughter and his line will be interrupted. That will be it. So when you have a son, your son will continue carrying your name and his son will continue carrying your name and his name and so on. And that will happen to the Prophet till the day of judgment. There will be always a son carrying his name. But for us and for anybody, the line will be cut at some point.
الإمام أحمد رحمه الله يقول يعني ما لهم ولمعاوية هذا الحديث فيه كل سبب ونسب منقطع يوم القيامة إلا سبب ونسب. معاوية كان يعني يقال له خال المؤمنين يعني أخته أم حبيبة هي إيه أم المؤمنين زوجة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعتبر معاوية هو من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني كل من تزوج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخواته.
And it applies to the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It just said, even including Muawiyah, who is the brother of Umm Habiba, who is the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم القيامة شفاعة خاصة غير الشفاعة يعني.
And those people will fall under a certain category on the Day of Judgment because the Prophet, peace be upon him, will intercede to them. Not because they have certain privilege, no. Remember that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would be the first to cut her hand. So they don't have a specific privilege in life. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet, because they are the relatives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he will intercede to Allah to make them in the paradise. Just because they are his relatives, but that does not help them. That does not help them unless they are good believers. And that's why he said to Fatima, O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, do good deeds because I cannot help you on the Day of Judgment. Another characteristic of his, peace be upon him, is that whoever saw him in his sleep, he has indeed seen him because Satan cannot take his image. Satan cannot take his image, peace be upon him. If you saw the Prophet in your sleep, congratulations, you have really seen him because nobody, Satan cannot take his image. But you gotta be sure because now you studied all his physique and his physical characteristics. If you saw someone with very narrow chest. That's not him, because he has very wide chest. If you saw someone that is extremely short, that's not him, because he was neither short nor very tall. If you saw someone who is with very curly hair, that's not him. If you saw someone with very short hair, that's not him. If you saw someone with very long hair, that's not him. If you saw someone with no eyebrows, that's not him. If you don't saw someone with no beard, that's not him. And you cannot see him anywhere but in your sleep. If you come and claim that you saw him during being awake, then it's either that you saw a devil or that you are schizophrenic, because it doesn't happen. But you can only see him in your sleep if that happens, and it doesn't happen to everyone. And if it happened to you, then really congratulations, because this is a huge, beautiful thing to see the Prophet.
Sheikh,
أرجو ما يعني يعني ما يكون طلوع عن الدرس بس يعني هل في أي مزية لرؤية الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنام يعني في مزية لها سواء في الدنيا أو الآخرة يعني
هل هناك مزية لرؤية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في النوم لا شك أنه
Is there any privilege for seeing the Prophet in sleep
الرؤية الصالحة as a vision من الله
Sheikh says the vision the good vision is from Allah So of course it's a privilege and this is one of the best visions that you can see in your sleep
هل هي علامة مثلا على أن الذي رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل من
Is this a sign that whoever sees the Prophet in sleep is better than anybody else?
دائما موضوع
The answer is no.
يعني حتى الكرامات ليست دليلا على أن من
Because even these things are not necessarily an indication that you are better than someone. But still, this is a privilege. There are things that happened to some of the followers that didn't happen to some of the companions. And a privilege can happen to someone with weak faith in order to bring his faith into another higher layer, higher level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that person to be better in faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a privilege happen to him to make him better in faith. Allah wants to stabilize him. Allah wants him to be better. Allah wants his faith to be stronger. So he stabilizes his faith with some kind of a privilege like this, seeing the Prophet in this faith maybe, or something that happens to you that doesn't happen to anybody else. But anyways, it's a glad tidings. And indeed, if it happens to you, congratulations, you have seen the Prophet in your sleep. This is beautiful. It's a glad tiding for you in this life. The Sufists, if you don't know who are the Sufists are some misguided people who are a sect that have a big problem in their minds. They follow every single piece of mysticism and they weigh any as nothing else. And they say that if you have one of these privileges, then you have reached a situation where some of them even say you don't even need to pray anymore. But they deviated from the straight path. They went into a totally different place, actually. Another privilege of his, peace be upon him, said nobody can lie to him, nobody can lie on behalf of him, nobody can lie and say something that he didn't say. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said whoever lies and says something that I didn't say, then he should expect his place in the hellfire. And again, we mentioned that before, is that if someone lied and mentioned something that the Prophet did not mention, then he or she is as if he booked a ticket in the hellfire, is as if he put himself on the super highway to the hellfire. If someone just said something the Prophet didn't say deliberately. He did that deliberately as a misguided someone or misguided people away from the straight path by lying, said a hadith that never happened, or never there was never a hadith like that. Someone who does that, according to the Prophet, is in the hellfire. Expect his seat. Should expect his seat in the hellfire. The following section is about the Hajj of the Prophet, peace be upon his
honors. قد حج بعد هجرة لطيبتي سنة عشر قط بغير مريتي واعتمر النبي بعد الهجرة أربعة والكل في ذي القعدة إلا التي في حجة الوداع قرنها لم تقل مني داع. فيقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حج بعد.
So the author here, the point here, says that the Prophet, peace be upon him, performed his pilgrimage on the 10th year after his hijrah, after his migration. After the migration, it took him 10 years, peace be upon him, to be able to enter Mecca for pilgrimage, or perform pilgrimage. And he didn't, peace be upon him, perform any pilgrimage after hijrah except this one, the 10th, the one of the 10th of of the 10th year of
Hijrah.
How many Umrahs, though? After his migration to Medina, peace be upon him, he performed four Umrahs. Four Umrahs. All of them were in the month of Dhul
Qa'dah.
All of them were in the month of Dhul Qa'dah.
قال إلا التي في حجة الوداع قرنها لم يخلو من نزاع أو لم تخلو من نزاع.
Except for the one that was in his Hajj.
قرنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بحجة الوداع. فهناك يعني اختلاف بين الفقهاء في كون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حج حجة الوداع. هل حج مفردا أو قارنا أو متمتعا؟ خلاف فيه.
There are three practices in Hajj that the Prophet, peace be upon him,
taught us.
Three practices. The first one is called the Iqran, or coupling. And that's when somebody couples Hajj with Umrah. He performs Umrah first, and then continues with his Ihram clothes all the way until Hajj. And he performs Hajj with the same Ihram clothes in which he performs Umrah. This is called Iqran or coupling. When you couple Hajj with Umrah in the same Ihram clothes, you never take him off until you are done with Hajj. And this is difficult, this is very tough. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not recommend it because it's tough. And the other practice is called Tamattu, or enjoying. And it's called enjoying because you enjoy the privilege of being able to perform Umrah first, take off the clothes of your Ihram, and continue without Ihram all the way until the 8th of the Hajjah, and then wear the clothes of Ihram, perform Hajj, and then take him off again. So you get the privilege of taking off the clothes of Ihram between the time between the Umrah and the Hajj. This is called Tamattu, or enjoying. And the third practice is called Ifrad, or single Hajj. Single Hajj means that you're not performing Umrah. You're only heading Mecca, performing Hajj, and you're leaving Mecca. That's it. You don't perform Umrah. You don't perform Umrah. There are three practices. The first practice is called coupling, or the Quran, enjoying, or Tamattu. Third one is called Ifrad, or singling. You're singling Umrah. You're only Hajj. You're only performing Hajj. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, performed Hajj, Iqran. Iqran here is the coupling, which he did not recommend his Ummah. He said to his Ummah, he recommended to his people the Hajj of enjoying, because only very few, if any, can do Hajj the way that he did, peace be upon him. He did not take off the clothes of Ihram all the way from Umrah all the way until he was done with Hajj. This is not easy. This is not easy. This is very difficult. So he recommended to us, he recommended to his people the Hajj of Tamattu, the Hajj of enjoying the privilege of taking off the clothes of Ihram as soon as you're done with Umrah, and only putting it back when you are about to perform Hajj. So anyways, we go back and say that the Prophet peace be upon him performed 4 Umrahs, all of them were in the month of Dhul Qa'dah except for another Umrah that he performed. His Hajj, when he coupled the Umrah with his Hajj, in a practice that is called Iqran. Remember these three practices of Hajj: Iqran, Tamattu, and Ifrad. Some scholars or some companions even mentioned that the Prophet peace be upon him performed Umrah in Rajab, but many companions negated that. They said no, he didn't perform Umrah in Rajab. Rajab is an Islamic month. Go back and study the Islamic calendar. Rajab is an Islamic month.
فيها عن البيت فحل قصدا كانت بها بيعته المرضية ثم تليها عمرة القضية سنة 7 بعدها الجعرانة عام 8 وعددا قرانة ولم يعد مالك في الرابعة وقال حج مفردا وتابع بعضهم.
Actually, the Umrah when the Prophet peace be upon him Hajj was counted amongst the four. The Umrah when the Prophet peace be upon him performed the Hajj was counted amongst the four Umrahs that he performed peace be upon him.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحرم بالعمرة وخرج عليه الصلاة والسلام ومعه أصحابه كانوا نحو 1500
On the sixth year after the migration of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about 1500 Muslims came out from Medina heading towards Mecca wanting to perform Umrah, headed by led by the Prophet, peace be upon him. But the disbelievers of Mecca, out of arrogance, insisted on banning the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions from entering Mecca to perform Umrah. And they came to a point where they were just about to engage into battling each other, into war, because of that. And it ended up with a treaty that is very famous, that is called the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. And this is the treaty in which witnessed the pledge of allegiance from some of the companions to the Prophet, peace be upon him, which is called Bay'at al-Ridwan, the pledge of al-Ridwan, when the companions pledged allegiance to the Prophet, peace be upon him, under the tree that is called the Tree of al-Ridwan.
It was mentioned first when the
Prophet peace be upon him sent Uthman ibn Affan as his messenger to carry the message to the disbelievers that the Prophet and his companions are coming into the city to perform Umrah. So a rumor was spread out that the disbelievers killed Uthman, and when the rumor spread out, the Prophet and his companions insisted on finding the disbelievers in Mecca. But when it was clear that it was only a rumor, the issue ended up with a treaty between the Prophet and the disbelievers of Mecca, and the treaty included some terms like that the Prophet and his companions would not enter Mecca to perform Umrah this year, and they would come back the following year for Umrah. And the Prophet accepted the terms, even though the companions or some of the companions were very fired up about that. How can we accept these terms? These terms are very are very unjust, and they are based on nothing but the arrogance and the conceitedness of the people of Mecca, and they are so conceited to the extent that they want to impose on us certain terms that should not be accepted by us. We are Muslims, we should accept these terms. But the Prophet peace be upon him accepted the terms, and 3 years later, two years later, he entered Mecca victorious.
صدوا عنها ومنعوا منها فجاء لقضائها
On the following year, the seventh year, he entered Mecca to perform Umrah with his companions. And on the following year, he entered Mecca victorious, opened the place for himself and the companions, and Mecca became the capital of Muslims on that day. Not the capital of Muslims, the capital of Islam was Medina when the Prophet peace be upon him lived, but Mecca became the place for the holy shrine, became the place for the Muslims. Rather than the place for the On the eighth year, the Prophet opened Mecca and entered it victorious, and he performed the Umrah of Al-Jarrana. That's the name of the Umrah. The Umrah of Al-Jarrana. The first Umrah was called the Umrah of Al-Qada. Why is it called the Umrah of the Qada? The Umrah of the makeup. Why is it called the Umrah of the makeup? Because the Prophet made up for the Umrah that they banned him from doing. That he banned them from performing with his companions.
العمرة الرابعة هي العمرة التي قرنها بحجته.
And the third was on the following year, which is the ninth year, and the fourth was the Umrah that he coupled with his pilgrimage. And Malik, Imam Malik, didn't even count that fourth Umrah. He said that the Prophet peace be upon him performed Hajj in the practice of ifrad or singling, when he singled his Hajj and he did not perform Iqran or coupling. But that's not what the rest of the scholars said. The rest of the scholars said that the Prophet peace be upon him performed Hajj Iqran, where he coupled his Hajj with Umrah. And that is why Malik said that the best Hajj is the Hajj of Ifrad, thinking that the Prophet peace be performed the Hajj of Ifrad or singling.
ولم يصح عدد الحجات من قبل هجرة ولا العمرة. يقول هذا ما كان بعد الهجرة. أما قبل الهجرة فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مقيما في مكة عليه الصلاة والسلام. ورد أنه كان يعني في مواسم الحج يذهب من الحصان إلى وفود الحجاج ويدعوهم إلى الله تعالى ويدعوهم إلى الإسلام.
When he was in Mecca, peace be upon him, he would go to the holy shrine during the time of pilgrimage and would receive the delegations that were coming to Hajj, because Hajj was still being performed during the time of ignorance or the time Jahiliyyah before Islam. Many of the practices of Hajj, unfortunately, were practices in which there was disbelief and association and so on and so forth. But the Prophet peace be upon him would still wait for the delegations that were coming to Mecca for Hajj and would invite them to Islam. And many of these delegations indeed embraced Islam, and he would focus on the heads of the tribes so that these heads of the tribes will go back and invite their tribes to Islam.
سنتين قبل الهجرة وواحدة بعد الهجرة. وقيل أكثر من
It was said by many scholars that the Prophet peace be upon him performed a pilgrimage three times. Two before he migrated to Mecca and one after he migrated to Mecca. The author here says we don't know how many times the Prophet in peace be upon him performed pilgrimage. It was not it's something that nobody knows for sure. But Sheikh says the most authentic thing that we got is that the Prophet peace be upon him performed Hajj twice before he migrated to Medina and once after he migrated to Medina. The following section is about the conquests and invasions of the Prophet peace be upon him. Inshallah, inshallah, talk about it the next time. But the question is about the pilgrimage of the Prophet after migration was only once. The Prophet performed only one pilgrimage after migration to Medina.
نعم بالنسبة إلى
Question here is about the pregnant who cannot observe fasting. A pregnant who cannot observe fasting. What can she do? The four major scholars who have schools of thought went for this opinion that she has to make up for the days that she misses. But some of the companions, like Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas, mentioned that she has the ability to feed for each day that she misses one poor person. And some of the schools of thought, of the jurisprudence, they went for this opinion, for the third opinion, that she has to make up and feed one poor person for each day that she misses. Make up for these days and feed one. Sheikh says that you can adopt the opinion that she can feed poor people for each day that she, one poor person for each day that she misses. And this is the easiest one. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.